After that generous introduction, may I say, nothing will contribute more to the unity and oneness in a family, neighborhood, stake, ward, or campus than sincere people speaking well of each other. And by the same token, nothing will contribute more to the downfall of a marriage, home, family, team, institution, or church than people who murmur. May I share a few thoughts with you this morning, centered around the subject, murmur not. As I have traveled quite extensively throughout the world for the church, it seems to me that one of the greatest things that the Brigham Young University has going for it today is sincere people proudly speaking well of Brigham Young University. What do we understand by the term murmur? The dictionary defines it as a half-suppressed or muttered complaint, grumbling, a low, indistinct, but often continuous sound, an atypical sound of the heart, indicating a functional or structural abnormality. May I, in the spirit of that definition, be brave enough to suggest that perhaps people who are prone to complain on a continuous basis are functionally or structurally abnormal. May I share with you an experience we had about 3 years ago to let you know that on occasion, even some of us may be inclined to murmur. We were attending a high school football team, and I think the score was 14-7 against the team that we were cheering for, and they're getting down to the last 45 seconds. Our team had the ball, and we happened to have a son who was playing end, and they threw a pass to him down the sidelines, and he ran about 20 yards with it, and they tackled him in bounds. Got down to about 15 seconds when he was tackled, and he was only about 5 yards from the end strip. And I was heard to mutter in not too silent a tone so that my wife could hear me. I said, as the time ran out and we lost, and I was heard to say, as I referred to my own son catching the pass and being delayed on that particular situation, "The dumb jackrabbit." And I don't know that I said rabbit on that occasion. Why didn't he step out of bounds and kill the clock? After I was through with this little murmur, my wife leaned over to me and she said, "When you were 17 years of age, did you know enough to step out of bounds and kill the clock?" I looked back at her and said, "When I was 17, I couldn't even make the team." Some intellectually inclined and some not so intellectually inclined citizens tend to sit back and murmur, forgetting that there is a manly right and privilege to meet issues and questions openly. How shabby is he who would rather murmur than know? And may I commend President Wilkerson for his remarks here 2 weeks ago today when he, rather than sit back and murmur, is willing to face issues head on in a manly way. How easy it is for us to sit back and murmur when we are offended. How much more manly and proper to face them head on, as he mentioned then and also alluded to them this day. Some time ago, it was my opportunity to notice particularly that a friend of mine was very skilled and very able at murmuring. In fact, I think she was the most skilled murmurer I've ever heard. She was a professional When she murmured, everyone listened because it was juicy and alarming and whatever you like to call it. So I challenged this friend of mine. I said, how would you like to accept a challenge? She said, what is it? And I said, how would you like to go 2 weeks without murmuring or gossiping or backbiting or finding fault? And she ducked her head a little bit and said, well, if you want, I'll try it. After the 2 weeks were over, she looked me up and she, in response to my question, did you make it? She said, I did. It wasn't easy, but I did make it. She said, and I want you to know it was the dullest 2 weeks of my life. It is an interesting pastime for some of us to murmur, but I want to tell you it's a dangerous pastime. One of our young friends, after completing reading the Book of Mormon for the first time, and at the conclusion of it was impressed with what he had read about Laman and Lemuel, said to us, what do you think was the primary difference between Laman and Lemuel and his brother Nephi when it came to performance and achievement in the great activities of that day? And without hesitation, we said, the difference between Laman and Lemuel and Nephi was the fact that Laman and Lemuel were inclined to murmur and find fault and whisper under their breaths, and not always in a whisper, their displeasure with everything that was going on. Laman and Lemuel were not as trusted or as successful as Nephi because they were in very deed inclined to murmur. May I refresh your memory to support our answer with a quotation from 1 Nephi chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Now this he spake because of the stiff-neckedness of Laman and Lemuel. For behold, they did murmur in many things against their father, because he was a visionary man, and led them out of the land of Jerusalem, to leave the land of their inheritance and their gold and their silver and their precious things to perish in the wilderness. And this they said he had done because of the foolish imaginations of his heart. And thus Laman and Lemuel, being the eldest, did murmur against their father. And they did murmur because they knew not the dealings of that God who had created him. Later in 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Lehi the father spoke to Nephi, saying, and now behold thy brothers murmur, saying, it is a hard thing which I have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but it is a commandment of the Lord. Therefore go, my son, and thou shalt be favored of the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. What a promise to Nephi, and what a promise to us today, that we shall be favored of the Lord if we murmur not. May I remind you, it is just as true today as it was then, that before you deny, before you defy, before you condemn, or before you apostatize, you must murmur first. Even Father Lehi, on a day of discouragement, murmured against the Lord and was rebuked. And it came to pass the voice of the Lord came unto my father, and he was truly chastened because of his murmurings against the Lord, insomuch that he was brought down into the depths of sorrow. Nephi was blessed with the courage and wisdom to murmur not. He had neither the time nor the inclination to murmur. Life was full, life was challenging, life was rewarding. He constantly encouraged his associates, including his brothers, to participate diligently in the work of the Lord and shun the business of murmuring. May I inject this thought and point it in the direction of our campus leaders and teachers? God knows the difference between a sincere inquirer, and you should also. Leaders and teachers should have time for the sincere inquirer. The Savior did. Joseph Smith was a sincere inquirer. Sincere inquirers are entitled to your time, your best thinking, and your willingness to listen. We may unknowingly lead some to murmur by our lack of patience and the use of the kind approach. May we remind ourselves, no power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion, by long-suffering, by gentleness and meekness, and by love unfeigned, by kindness and pure knowledge, which shall greatly enlarge the soul without hypocrisy and without guile. Reproving betimes with sharpness when moved upon by the Holy Spirit, then showing forth afterwards an increase of loves toward whom thou hast reproved, lest he esteem thee to be an enemy. My young friends, I would like to indicate to you with all the sincerity of my heart that indulging in the business of murmuring is dangerous business. Avoid it. Do not have time for it. It will lead you away. I am reminded of the experience in the life of Emma Smith, the wife of the prophet, who was inclined on occasion to murmur. I think we could accurately say that on occasion Emma wanted to be where the action was. She wanted to know what was going on. She wanted to be a party to the translation. She wanted to see the records. She wanted to be in on it. And she murmured because she was left out. And this prompted the Lord to give us the 25th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. When she was instructed, murmur not because of the things which thou hast not seen, for they are withheld from me and from the world, which is wisdom in me in a time to come. And the office of thy calling shall be for a comfort unto my servant Joseph Smith, Jr., thy husband, a comfort in his affliction with consoling words in the spirit of meekness. Continue in the spirit of meekness and beware of pride. Let thy soul delight in thy husband and the glory which shall come unto him. Our challenges today are to serve where we are called and to serve without murmur and to serve without reservation. The stout-hearted do not have time to murmur. May I share with you an experience or two we've had just during the last 2 weeks to indicate and share with you the lives of some of our friends who have not taken the occasion or the time to murmur. 2 weeks ago, last Sunday, we were in a state conference. When it was time for the closing prayer to be announced, the state president announced the individual who was to come up and give the closing prayer. There were four verses in the closing song, and at the beginning of the third verse, I noticed a young man start from the audience, making his way to the pulpit to give the closing prayer. As he moved toward the pulpit, I noticed he was moving with a great deal of difficulty. And as he came even closer, I could see that one leg was braced, heavily braced. He walked with a cane. He walked slowly. He walked with a great deal of effort as well as a great deal of courage. And he made it to the pulpit just in time. The concluding song was, the song was over and it was time for the concluding prayer. Just before he gave the closing prayer, the state president nudged me and said, "This young man has just returned from the mission field, a member of the McKay Second Ward in the Wells Stake in Salt Lake City. He said, just about 2.5 years ago, he came to me after visiting with his bishop and said, I'd like to go on a mission. I know I have physical handicaps, but I'd like to go. And the stake president hesitated, wondering what to say to the young man, and finally the young man said, to press the point, President, if you and the bishop will let me go on a mission, I promise you one thing. The stake president said, what is it? He said, I promise you, if you let me go, I'll never get in anyone's way. He went on his mission. He came back, served in the Western Central States Mission, and had the opportunity of baptizing 47 people in the state of Montana because he wouldn't murmur and because he wouldn't get in anyone's way. A great individual who had the right, we might say, to murmur, find fault with his God, find fault with his parents, find fault with the community. But he was stout-hearted, and he didn't have the time nor the inclination to murmur. About 10 days ago, we had a young man come into our office to be set apart as he was ready to go into the mission field. He came into the office alone without parents or without friends. And as we were visiting with him to become better acquainted, I said to him, is your father a member of the church? And he said, no. I said, is your mother a member of the church? And he said, just barely. I said, does your father want you to go on a mission? And he said, no. Does your mother want you to go on a mission? She really doesn't care whether I go or not. Well, why are you going? Just because I've always wanted to go, and I think I can make a success of it. I looked that young man in the face, and I said, it seems to me you have 2.5 strikes against you, but from what I hear and what I feel of your spirit, you will not strike out. A great individual who had the opportunity to murmur, my dad doesn't care, my mother doesn't care, why should I care? But he knows the importance of going forward. To emphasize the deadly effects of this habit, may I say that more damaging than physical upset and physical injury to the Brigham Young University, as they aspire to add another conference basketball championship to their many laurels, as dangerous as physical injuries can be, my good friend Coach Stan Watts can tell you that more dangerous than that is having someone on the team or someone on the squad who is inclined to murmur, find fault, and cause destruction within the ranks by the vicious weapon we are talking about today. There is no room on a championship-aspiring squad for a team member who murmurs. This is a day when we need dedicated Latter-day Saints, bearing testimony of the truthfulness of the gospel. We don't need those who would lurk in the dark shadows and murmur. Stand by the prophet David O. McKay. Sustain him. Support him. Perform for him. Don't make sliding remarks about your bishop. Don't second guess your stake president. Don't criticize home teachers. Instead of these don'ts, let's be builders and build ourselves as we build others. There are those in our society who murmur against God. There are those who murmur against this great country. There are those who murmur against the church. There are those who murmur against their friends. Cease to contend one with another. Cease to speak evil one with another. If we have associates who are inclined to murmur, may I hope and pray that we will help them Help them overcome this habit and find their way back. Again, I remind you, before you defy, condemn, depart, or apostatize, you must murmur first. May I refer to the fact that, in my mind, the reason Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris fell away after having the divine revelations and experiences that they had, they fell away, in my mind, primarily because they were inclined to murmur. I also think that the prophet Joseph Smith had great difficulty, trials and tribulations and physical harm bestowed upon him because many of his close associates were inclined to murmur instead of stand by him and support him. Know this, my young friends, that the adversary has no stronger weapon in his possession for the downfall of our Heavenly Father's children or institutions than murmuring. May I bear my testimony to you this day that this is our Heavenly Father's work. This is His kingdom. We have been blessed with gifts. We have abilities. We have assignments. We have charges. But we do not have the right, when we are unhappy with ourselves or with conditions, to murmur against God, leaders, or companions. I feel that our challenge today in this direction is to live lives of true Latter-day Saints with dignity and with pride. I feel that we need this as much today, brothers and sisters, as anything that we possibly do have and need, is to live our religion in a spirit of dignity, maintain our standards in a spirit of dignity, and you can't do it if you murmur. May I conclude with the example given to us by our Heavenly Father, the highest source of truth. When the heavens were opened and the prophet's prayer was answered because he was a sincere inquirer, and a voice was spoken from the lips of our Heavenly Father, "This is my beloved Son." And later, at the time when the Savior was being baptized, and a voice from heaven came forward saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." An example to us that our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son would have us speak well of each other and to not spend our time or our energies in murmuring. I pray that our Heavenly Father may help us to belong to the group who pledged that we will murmur not, because our Heavenly Father would have us direct our thinking and our energies in other directions. I thank you for the opportunity of being with you. Hope and pray that our Heavenly Father will bless you with every righteous desire of your heart. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.